You're listening to the OneOfUs.net Podcast Network.
Hey everybody, Justin Zarian here. If you like what you hear on this show, on Digital Noise, or anything else on this site, please consider being a subscriber. There are hours and hours of content waiting for you there, including, starting at $2 a month, our news podcast, The Breakfast Pub, which I write the notes for. But at $5 a month, you can also get access to stuff like The Gathering, our party podcast. Or, at $10 and higher, you can get access to our movie commentaries, which, tons of fun, lots of great stuff there. And, you know, this is the way that we keep the site going, to be able to provide hours of entertainment for you guys. We also want to give a shout out to our sponsor, once again, Oscar Blues Brewery, the original brewery to put a craft beer in a can. And they just have tons of stuff available for you. Go look up oscarblues.com, that's Oscar with a K, to be able to find a brewery near you. With that, hope you enjoy the show. Cue the music. The patience. After all this movie, I just got one thing to say to you.
Which is?
I'm the captain now.
I am the captain now.
I am the captain now. Although, look to be fair, I don't think anyone wants to be the captain in this movie, because...
It was sordid.
I don't think I've ever seen a more bleak, depressing movie in like the last few years than this movie, The Captain. Or, in Germany, as it's called, Der Hauptmann. So the scary thing about this movie, even scarier than the actual film itself, this is based on a true story. Like, I did not believe it when I first saw it. I was just like, oh, this is clearly like a work of fiction. It's a cautionary tale, you know, made for scaring people out of stuff about the abuse of power. But nope, this is actually based on a real dude who did more or less all of this stuff. I mean, some stuff was embellished for the film itself, but the general idea was, yeah, this guy named Willie Harold, who found an officer's uniform while he was deserting from the war, and then, you know, he decided, hey, this officer uniform gets me a lot of respect. Maybe I can use that to my advantage. And it just proceeds to go downhill from there, and just all kinds of... Honestly, some of the most brutal war crime scenes I've ever seen in a film lately.
It definitely is kind of a roller coaster ride because, I mean, it technically goes uphill from there for him. Like, he starts, like, living the good life. And then it goes downhill in the end, of course. But, yeah, I didn't realize that this was actually a real human being until the end of the movie. And I'm blown away. Like, I'm still kind of reeling from all of that because it's like, it reminded me a lot I guess that was the whole plot, really. But
that's pretty much what it is.
That's pretty much the whole entire plot of the movie. Finds a Nazi captain's uniform, impersonates a captain, does horrible things. It kind of reminded me a little bit of, like, the Stanford prison experiment, where mm-hmm. they sort of did that whole thing where they were testing to see, like, just how far would you go if you had enough power. And trust me, this guy, he takes it all the way. He goes as far as it can go.
Oh, yeah. No, like, there's a point where early on they kind of hint at, like, well, maybe he's a little conflicted with making some of the choices. But there's a part very early in the film where it seems like he's pretty much bought into his hype. You know, he's just like, yeah, I am the captain. I got power.
Yep.
I can get myself out of any situation, any problems, any complications. I can talk my way out of it.
And I was blown away because, first of all, you kind of tricked me into watching this movie, just so you know. I was not prepared to watch this movie today. And I was like, all right, I'm just going to run with it. I like movies, even though this isn't definitely, like, not something I would have chosen for myself. This is not my genre. But holy cow, like, I'm so glad I watched this movie because it is dark. And there are some parts that I was like, well, I wouldn't have even seen that in a horror film. This is dark. So, I mean, it's definitely... not your normal drama. This is something that it takes a pretty strong stomach to watch, I think.
Oh, yeah. No, which is funny because this movie, I was telling Patience this during the movie, this is a movie directed by Robert Schwinke. Now, that may not be familiar to a lot of people out there, but hear me out. So this guy was a young director, you know, like, what, early 2000s, a director coming out of Germany, made a couple indie films. One was, like, kind of a horror thriller. The other was a more personal story kind of thing.
And then he came over to America and he made that movie Flight Plan with Jodie Foster. If you remember that one?
Terrible. Yeah, it was terrible.
Yeah. Which, and that's the problem, is that when he came to America, like we do with most foreign film directors, we just assign them to just any random crap. So he did, after that, The Time Traveler's Wife, and then Red, and then R.I.P.D., and then the last two Divergent films. So you think, with all that under his belt, all that just kind of schlock and generic blockbuster garbage, suddenly he goes back to Germany and he's like, well, I'm going to make my opus. So he just decides, hey, I'm going to pull out all the stops, make it a smaller budget, make it the complete opposite of a big, hearty blockbuster film. And wouldn't you know it, this is probably the best thing I've ever seen him do, relatively speaking.
Well, out of all of those movies, it's hard not to do something better. Although I did kind of like Red, and I have seen all of the Divergents, even though he directed the worst of the two of the Divergents. But this was really good. It's all in black and white, so immediately you know it's important. right away. It's all in German with English subtitles again, so you got that like really artsy feel. But it's really well made. It's well directed. We were talking during the movie, the cinematography is really quite stunning on certain shots.
Then
all of a sudden you'll get this like contrast, and it only happens once or twice, but you get this contrast of like they'll do a full color shot of the real place where this stuff happened. So just to remind you, hey, this is real. This really happened. And this guy is responsible for actual war crimes, even though he was only a 21-year-old deserter.
Oh yeah, no, I'm amazed at the stuff that he accomplished. Like, not amazed, like I admire it, but I'm just amazed he was able to bullcrap all of that stuff all the way through, because there's at least one scene, especially with a flat cannon that they use, that maybe was one of the hardest things to watch that I've seen in a long time. And even worse, like that one was like, it's like super gory and explicit, but there's a later scene where, to compliment the cinematography again, there's a shot where they're executing prisoners in a pit. And you can't see what's in the pit, the way they frame the shot, but just the way that it's being composed and the action's happening, you know exactly what's going on in there. And they don't need to show you to just emphasize how brutal and horribly gross and just sad the scene is, you know? It's really amazing. I mean, they just get shot after shot.
Yeah, I agree with you wholeheartedly. And I actually wish more horror directors would take cues like that. Like, you don't need to show us, you know, I love gore, just like any other horror fan it does. I love me some gore, but sometimes you don't need the gore. I don't like gore for gore's sake. And in this particular shot that you're discussing, like, they don't have to show any of it, but you definitely feel it in your gut. You know exactly what's going on, and it sucks. It's brutal to watch.
Yeah, no, it's really rough. And you know what? It's funny, because this isn't a movie that you think that you have to really give a lot to, like, big acting for it, but I thought that the main guy playing this captain, which his name's, I'm pulling it up on IMDb here, Max Hubacher. I'm sure I'm butchering that badly, but I thought that, you know, it's funny because he's really good playing this kind of, like, conniving, duplicitous character, even though when you think about it, and I'm sure it's intentional, you really don't know anything about him as a person. Like, he has this persona of the captain that he plays throughout this whole thing, but if you think about it, we never actually learn anything about him as an individual throughout this entire film, other than he's a deserter and he'll say anything to get himself out of a situation.
Yeah, and what I really liked about this particular actor is he does some really good face acting, which there's like these parts where you can tell where like he's on the spot and he's thinking and he's trying not to reveal that he like doesn't know what to do or how to react or, you know, how to get himself out of these like increasingly complicated situations. And so, but you can, he does this really great face acting where you can tell that he's like, oh shit, oh shit, oh shit, what do I do? What do I do? And, but, you know, like, but don't like reveal it, but it's really, he's really good. And I would like to see him in more stuff, but otherwise, yeah, I think he plays the part very like subtly. You know, like there's like an ease to his character that you don't really see a lot, you know, especially in these kinds of movies.
Oh, yeah. No, I think that's a really good credit to him, that he really knows how to rein it in. And I think a lot of the actors really do a great job with that, where this is a film that's very much about those quiet moments, those really intense, uncomfortable bits, especially, like, yeah, anytime he feels like he's about to be caught, anytime that, you know, he gives an order to a fellow soldier that seems difficult to follow, anytime, you know, a situation's about to happen, there's just that stillness. It almost feels like watching a war film with a David Lynch style of sound mixing, where it's just that ominous hum in the background mixed with this black and white photography. It's very unsettling, and it's a really great compliment to all the people involved. I mean, and I don't know any of these actors. I don't know any of the German people in this film, but they all do a uniformly good job. Now, saying that, I will say, I mean, there's only a couple things I wasn't crazy about in this movie, and they're minor complaints, but they were enough that it kind of pronounced itself. For one thing, just an odd choice, 24 minutes into the film, the title card shows up, which was an interesting stylistic choice for sure.
Yeah, it was so funny because we were just watching the movie and then we're like, oh yeah, we haven't seen the title card at all yet. So, wow, that's crazy.
Oh, yeah. But even that contrast shots that you mentioned, the way they're placed was very different as well. Like, you know, a lot of these things, like, it plays with conventions of certain narrative structure where you expect to see that stuff, like, at the end of the movie or in other certain parts of the film. And they happened literally, like, a split second in the middle of the film itself. And you're like, oh, that was odd.
Yeah, because you're like, oh, wait, did the movie just end? What just happened right now? Oh, no, it's still going. Oh, okay. It is a little awkward, for sure. You would definitely expect that to be in the end credits. But then they did some, like, weird modern thing in the end credits that was also perplexing.
Yeah, no, and I thought that, like, I mean, again, little nitpicks. I felt that the ending was maybe a little anticlimactic because it feels like the bulk of the movie really happens when they get to this prisoner of war camp, and that's where all the really most intense moments happen in the story. And then when they leave the war camp, like, near the end of the story, it just kind of petered out a little bit. I will say that.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that after the prison camp segment ends, like, the climax definitely fizzles.
Yeah, I mean, and I guess it's to be fair, like, you expect, like, a giant battle sequence like other war films, but this isn't that type of war movie. So I was kind of not expecting something big to happen, but you expected something more significant to occur in the very final moments of the film. And also, the only other complaint, I wasn't crazy about the music. Like, I get it, they're trying to be atmospheric, but it sounds almost a little too modern for this film. Like it's all that, it's very Drive almost, like that kind of score.
Yeah, especially during the most brutal scenes, I think. It was like a really odd choice. I mean, they're all like weird, I don't know, atmospheric instrumentals. I don't know how to explain it, but it some of them didn't really seem to fit. And the ending is actually kind of hilarious, though.
Unintentionally hilarious.
Yeah, the end credits music is like, what is going on?
You just watch like 2 hours of horrible atrocities and then they do this.
This like lighthearted polka band. And you're just like, what? This isn't good.
Yeah, no, but I mean, and most of these are minor complaints, but they just kind of stacked out to the point where they're, because so much of this film was so good, those parts were very noticeable. And I was just like, okay, yeah, this could be done a little bit better. But on the whole, I mean, yeah, I know, I tricked you into watching this. I would say I apologize, but I feel like I actually made you watch something that wasn't garbage, like some other films we've watched in the show. So, surprise! You watched a good movie.
Woo! Yeah, at least I got a good one. It didn't have dinosaurs in it, so I count myself lucky.
Yeah, I don't think there was an animal in sight in this movie. Like, it was just, and also, I will say one last thing to compliment. Like, that feeling throughout this whole film that there's just barren, desolate vibe, because the whole thing takes place like near the end of the war, of the Second World War. It's like April 1945, I think they were saying.
Yeah, so it's definitely like the end of the end.
Yeah, and you can feel that in every frame, just like desperate panic, desperation, just people trying to survive and do horrible things just for the sake of not being captured, not being executed, and everything. And that's just a great credit to Schwenke, who also wrote the story. You know, he directed and wrote this thing.
Oh,
so
wow.
Yeah, it's really good. And, I mean, technically, this film came out last year in Germany, and it actually has gotten very good reception. It got nominated and won a couple major German film awards, especially for the sound mixing, which apparently everyone was saying, like, yeah, this is, you know, really, really well done, and I totally agree with that. And I don't know how well it will do in America, because, obviously, You know, I will say this. I understand. We have such a hyperbolic sensation with, you know, rooting out Nazis in our country. And especially, it's coming out the same weekend as Black Klansmen and that kind of stuff. So it's got the total opposite to contend with in the theaters. But, you know, I'll say this. Like, I think this movie, it's obviously, it's hard to watch any film involving Nazis. But it's not really about Nazism in the end. It's about what people do when they're given power and they just abuse it. You know, like, just, if you, you know, it's part of those old quotes, just like, if you really want to know the measure of a man, give him a little bit of power and see what he does with it.
Yep.
And this really is the case where if you give it to a total psychopath like this dude, he can not only do horrible things on his own, but he can make other people do horrible things for him. And that's almost scarier than just what he can do by himself.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think that you just pretty much nailed it on the head as far as, like, the plot of the movie and how this one 21-year-old kid puts on a suit and becomes everything that everyone despises, and then gets everyone to follow him along to the point where he has people gushing over how amazing he is because he's such a fantastic, like, ruthless person and killer. Overall, I think for the film, I think it starts off a little bit slow, and I think that that's going to probably turn a lot of people off because it does sort of move at a snail's pace in the beginning. But by the time you get to the prison camp, you are like entrenched in this film, no pun intended. See what I did there? You are fully absorbed into this film and to, you know, this guy's life and what is he going to do? Like, what's he going to do next? And then it just sort of kind of fizzles back out again. So I think I think American audiences, if it is coming out the same time Black Klansman is, which has a lot of hype behind it, I think that this is probably going to get overlooked by a lot of people. But I for one recommend this film. I think overall I enjoyed it, and I'm like a better person for having watched it.
All right, so what's your final rating then?
I'm going to give it 8 monocles out of 10.
Oh, yes, I am the captain. Yeah. That was a really funny bit in the beginning when he's testing out the uniform and all the stuff and the gimmicks inside. And you're just like, oh, yeah, he's like almost living out his own captain cosplay throughout this. Like, oh, I got my monocle. I am so great. It was really funny.
Like dressing up in front of the mirror. when you're a kid, kind of a thing. What about you? What's your final rating?
I've wrestled with this because I really did enjoy a lot of this, and it's just a shame that it, like you said, it kind of started slow and it kind of ended with a little bit of a whimper. But there's just so much good throughout this whole thing, and again, like you said, it's going to be a hard watch for people, not just because it's about Nazis, not just because it's brutal, not just because it's black and white, but because of all of that. It's just so gosh dang bleak throughout this entire film.
Yeah.
And yet, I kind of feel like I'm a better person for watching it, because as horribly bleak as it is, it really makes you think. And it's subjects that we've talked about before in films, but it's one that's done very well. And I think it's actually just as relevant as any of the other films that are trying to promote, like, you know, oh, stop the Nazis. This one's like, no, stop the Nazis. But you gotta understand why this kind of mentality just, you know, affects everybody, not just Nazis. Like, this one almost, I was kind of mentioning this with you in the recording, it almost makes a good companion piece with Death of Stalin. Like, those films that are really about just what people will do to get power and the horrible depths they'll go for it, kind of thing. So, I think I will give it 8 out of 10 actors pooping out bandanas. Because there's a whole bit when they have these two people who are, like, German actors performing for a stage, and it just goes to show that sometimes puerile humor just never dies. It's an eternal thing.
Sometimes, I guess, the junior high jokes will just live on forever.